to the CineScare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
And with us, as always, is the super fan, Mr. Mark Piscati.
Hello, everybody.
And, of course, this week we don't have Jimmy. He had a little family emergency. Nothing too bad, but he wasn't going to be able to make it. So
our hearts still go out to Jimmy McJames and his family.
That's right. But so it's like old times. It's just the three of us.
Old times, like three episodes ago.
Yeah,
exactly.
Here we go.
Yeah.
If I could, before we get too rolling into this, I'd like to take time to offer my public apology from my snafu from last episode when I was referring to the Blues Brothers and I mistakenly mentioned Jim Belushi instead of the iconic classic comedian John Belushi.
Sacrilege.
My parents have officially started the paperwork to disown me because of that guffaw. And I do sincerely apologize, and I will do the best that I can to make sure that never happens again.
Yeah. I don't think Matt and I or James actually noticed, because we would have never thought of you making that mistake, and it just flew over our head.
No, yeah. And actually, to pull back the curtain a bit, when I lived in Chicago, when I first moved up there, just to show how big of a diehard fan I was of the Blues Brothers, the only reason I never got lost in Chicago when I first moved up there is because I always knew the address of Wrigley Field. Because when Elwood renewed his license, he renewed it as 1060 West Addison. So I always knew how far north, south, east, and west I was based off of that marker. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess we are back this week with, I did watch, actually this week, I think I watched more movies this week or this last couple weeks than I have for a while in terms of movies that aren't. I feel like the last couple episodes I've barely watched anything that wasn't theme related, but I watched a few this time. So, Joe, what did you watch that was un-theme related?
I know, not sound like a broken record, but I watched Mad God again. It was just, jeez. I was looking for something to put on in the background and I put it on. I watched This Is Guar, which is the documentary on Shudder about the ultra super mega band Guar.
Right.
How was that? In the universe.
Long. I really like the band. I like the story, but that movie shouldn't have been 2 hours long or just slightly over. It was interesting. I learned quite a lot. It was extremely educational. And I did enjoy it, but I think that story could have been condensed into about an hour and a half, and I would have been much happier.
Did they show how they made their costumes by any chance?
They didn't exactly. I mean, it's not like it was a tutorial or anything, but you did see clips of them making stuff, and you get the history of the band, and you know they all spawned from a bunch of art students to begin with. So there were guys that were making this originally just for a movie that they wanted to make. And one guy who was pioneering, trying to make this movie, kind of shared a loft space with another guy that was just in a punk band, and their paths crossed. It was like Reese's peanut butter cups, two great tastes that taste great together, you know, and they got chocolate in each other's peanut butter. And next thing you know, they've melded the two punk rock and this gore movie thing. And it magically made Guar. So it was interesting. If you like rock documentaries, or as I like to call them, rockumentaries, then give it a watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Especially if you've seen them in concert.
I haven't.
I have.
I've seen videos of them in concert, but
it was awesome. one of the biggest indoor mosh pits I've ever been in.
Oh yeah, get me away from mosh pits. I saw my first like real mosh pit was Ministry, and I almost died.
Oh,
I almost died.
Was that at Lollapalooza?
No, it was back in the 90s, but it was scary. It was scary. Yeah. Yeah. I'll never go in a mosh pit again after that. I'm too little.
And I also watched Atrocious or Atroz. I forget.
Atroz.
Yeah.
However it's pronounced. So
God damn it, Joe.
I found this movie called Atrocious. I can't remember what year it was made or even where it was filmed, but it's one of those ultra violent, like
found footage,
like they dare you to keep watching. I've made it through the entire film.
I couldn't.
And it's absolutely disgusting. What was the other Irreversible?
Yeah.
It was similar in style, or I guess in what they're trying to put on the screen as Irreversible. Just utterly disgusting. Should have never been made, but I managed to sit through the whole thing and ate a bag of chips while watching it. So
there's pudding.
Yeah. There's genital decapitation and evisceration. It is not for the weak of heart.
I thought I could get through the movie. I couldn't. I think I got 35 minutes and I was done. I couldn't do it.
You missed a whole.
Yeah, you missed a lot then.
Oh, you. Yeah. Matt, wait, you saw it?
Yeah, we texted about it yesterday. I didn't really think it was that big of a deal. Like,
really?
I was thinking about this and you know, back in the day, I dated somebody who liked to try to make you jealous. You know, like, have you ever dated somebody that like played games like that where they're always trying to make you jealous, always flirting with somebody trying to make you jealous? And the fact that they're trying to make you jealous doesn't make you jealous. It just makes you like, this is ridiculous, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt a little bit like that of this movie. Like it was trying really hard to be shocking. And that's all it was really trying to do to me. And I just kind of was like, I did not find it anywhere near as disturbing as Irreversible. Like that traumatized me, that movie. And this, I was like, well, it's just some people, they're trying to be as edgy as they can be. I didn't, you know, obviously I think the average person should not watch this movie though. No. I mean, we've watched a lot of it. This is post French Extreme, but I still think the French are the best at this.
It's a good story, you know,
right.
They have actors and
this
whatnot.
It was found footage basically mixed with some, whatever regular narrative. It reminded me a little bit in its structure of VHS. Did you ever watch those anthologies?
Yeah.
A little bit of that because they were searching and they find videotape and then they watch it. So it's one of those where there's an actual storyline going on, but it pauses every now and then to show a crime that's done by these serial killers, and you see they videotape themselves when they're doing these horrible things to a trans prostitute, a female prostitute, the parents of one of the characters, and they do, I mean, obviously there's some really despicable things in this, but it didn't have the impact on me that, you know, maybe I'd also had it built up quite a bit before I started watching it by you guys. But it didn't, I didn't, you know, it felt like they were trying so hard to be shocking that it lost that.
I think it required a little bit of buildup. If I just told you guys,
you guys
should watch this movie, Atroz,
right?
Or Atrocity or whatever it's called.
No, it wasn't totally that. It wasn't totally that. Like I think if I had watched it even cold, I would have felt
probably turned it off maybe.
No, I would have felt the same way. Like they are trying really hard to shock me right now.
Oh, yeah. That's the prime directive of this film is shock factor, shock factor, shock factor.
Yeah.
I got exhausted just watching that, the 30 seconds. I was going, no. Oh, no. And then I was like, why? And I just got exhausted and I turned it off and I tried it a little bit and things started happening. And I just stopped it. I said, I don't want to watch this.
I mean, there's a point where a character gets revenge on another character, and there is a phallus with wrapped in barbed wire with a camera on it that goes inside the character, one of the characters. Okay. It's a little bit much. You know, it's a bit like, come on, people. I mean, it's obviously that's something I've never seen before. And I'm sure and that's
never planned to see again.
And I hope I never have to see it again. It's definitely interesting, but I didn't come away from it. Like, you know, that I think some of the French extreme movies that we watch, like Inside, Irreversible, and Martyrs, as difficult as they were to watch at times, there was a story that kind of wrapped you up in it a bit. You know, I felt like Irreversible went that one scene, the big rape scene, is way too long. But at the same time, there's a method to the madness that I can. This was just kind of, you know, it reminded me a little bit of Poughkeepsie Tapes, a little bit like that, right? Did you ever see that one?
I don't think I did.
The Poughkeepsie Tapes?
Tapes or whatever it's pronounced.
Matt pronounced it right, I think.
Poughkeepsie? I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a Poughkeepsie town in New York,
yeah,
right? But I never saw it. Joe, did you see
I
that?
Believe I did.
Mean, I saw
was
it.
That the? Was that like a about a whole town? Was this something in the water or something like that?
No, it was a serial killer who left behind all these tapes of him doing all these.
Oh, right. Yeah, and they had like hundreds and hundreds of tapes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Remind me a little of that, I guess. It was sort of, you know, just one extreme thing after the next and loosely tied together with a storyline. But or like VHS is like that too. But yeah. VHS I thought was more interesting because it's more of an anthology, and this was just one series of events after the next. But
yeah.
Anything else, Joe?
I actually watched a new release on Amazon Prime called Master, which is about a African-American woman that is gets a new job as like a headmaster at a college, an all-white, very prestigious Ivy League college. Mm-hmm. And it also focuses on a younger African-American girl that gets she's accepted as a student. And it's a more of a psychological thriller, really pulling back the curtain on the horrors of racism, you know, how it's interpreted on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
And there's somewhat of a ghost story along the lines of it as well. It's thought provoking, a couple of jump scares, worth a watch. I did recommend it. I did like it quite a bit. And lastly, I started watching, I never finished it. There's a movie on Netflix called The House, which is, again, another stop motion animation. It's more along the lines, it's like three little movies in an anthology, all revolving around something taking place in this house. The first section of this, the first little movie, is bizarre. It's this little farm family, and all of a sudden they get a knock on the door and they're presented with this offer. This man wants to build you this giant mansion. It'll be totally yours and all the land, but you just got to do whatever we say and you got to go live in it. And then we get to take over your old house. And they of course do. And they move in and very strange things start to happen. Very strange things happen with the house. That one's well worth it. But the second one's more of a modern tale, and it really started to lose my interest, and I never ended up finishing it from there. But again, this is very intriguing methods of their stop motion animation. It was very well done.
Nice.
That was it.
Okay.
Nice. Mark, did you watch anything non-theme related?
Other than
Atroz.
Well, 30 minutes of it. I watched Nope. And you saw it too, Matt.
Right. Yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, I didn't have a strong reaction to it. I thought it was I gave it 3.5 stars cuts or whatever. I thought it was good. Not great. I think it could have been trimmed a little bit. And I think it would have been a lot tighter, but I liked it. You know, I didn't really, I didn't think, I know a lot of people talked about a lot of the symbolism in that, and I didn't see a lot there, or it didn't really, you know, ring that true to me. When it was just a more of an adventure kind of Spielbergian tale.
Yes.
Then I thought it was most effective then. I liked the whole part of the monkey memory of
one
character. It's hard to talk about and tell what it's about without giving away too much, but basically this family lives out in the middle of California, not far from where my wife Michelle grew up, actually. And they have a horse ranch, and they basically train horses for movies, and there's something in the sky happening, whether it's an alien or what, you know, and so they're trying to capture it on film so they can make money from that. And that's the basic premise. And I thought it was interesting. It had a little, you know, some of that Close Encounters feel to it.
That's what I got from it. And I got a little bit of Jaws. So it's kind of territorial. Got a little bit of that. I enjoyed the film too, but I thought it really started lagging at the end. It kind of fell apart a little bit. I didn't like the ending, how it happened. Spontaneous thing. I can't say like.
Yeah,
what happened.
No, I agree. The ending. I didn't care for the way it ended. So let me see. I watched actually a pretty good one on Shudder called Moloch, M-O-L-O-C-H. And this is a Dutch film about a family that lives out in the northern Netherlands. And their family gets attacked by a random stranger one night. It's just somebody from the town or somebody from the area, but a stranger. And they don't understand. There's no explanation for it. And so the main woman, who was really good in it, I have a feeling we're going to see her in some American movies. But she's got just a great look and she's really good in it. And her name is Sally Harmson. Anyway, she starts to investigate what's going on, and she finds there's a bit of a curse on her family. And so it's really interesting. It's kind of folk horror slash, you know, kind of a witch sort of situation. I gave it 3.5 stars. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely a bit of a slow burn. It takes its time. It's not, you know, it probably could pick up the pace a little bit, but I really enjoyed it. So that was Moloch on Shudder. And I think it was just released on Shudder, if I'm not mistaken, might have been last weekend or the weekend before. I can't remember now. But and of course, I saw Atroz, and I think that is that's all I watched that was non-theme related. So, the only other thing I have to say is I do have a date for the release of my new novel, The Last House.
Attaboy.
Going to be coming out September 20th. So we've got I've been posting stuff about it. So if you want to follow my author Facebook account, it's Matthew Speak on Matthew Speak. I think it's facebook.com/ Matthew Speak author. Anyway, or there's MatthewSpeak.com, or just follow CineScare because I'll post on there too. So.
Hey, I know this is your book and your idea, but I think maybe we'd have to announce this a little later, but maybe we should give away a signed copy.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Yeah, yeah. Or a few signed copies. Yeah, that's fine.
And also, I think maybe do an episode when you release the book and do a little 30-minute interview with you and talk about your novel.
When we get closer, definitely we can talk a little bit about the novel. Sure. Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Yeah, so
get inside Matthew Speak's brain.
Yeah, it's a frightening place. All right, well, Mark, this is your episode. So why don't
it's
you?
Not my episode. Well, it's not my episode.
It is your pick.
This isn't my fault. This isn't no.
Well, yeah.
It's not that bad. It's not the Lost Boys.
Joe's giving you a round of applause.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, not that bad. I think it's about not that bad. That's about the level of praise I'd give this these movies, probably.
No, right, Joe? Unacceptable.
Yeah, okay, so what I picked was aquatic horror. And yeah, I picked aquatic horror because, in my opinion, it's probably the closest thing plausible to sci-fi horror. And there is over 80% of the ocean unexplored. We don't know what's out there in the sea. And what we do know is absolutely terrifying in the ocean. I mean, you got sharks, giant octopuses, and squids. 8 tons of pressure of a square inch when you get, you know, too deep in the ocean. And I'm not scared of much things, but the ocean scares the shit out of me. And like, I will never swim in the ocean ever. I don't want to get eaten. Yes, you could get eaten by a grizzly on land, but you know, I live in Illinois. I live close to Chicago, and I know for a fact I'm not going to get eaten by a bear. So that's the only upside of living in Illinois. So I picked 5 movies that I thought would be fun to watch, and hopefully you guys had some fun watching. No, it's not 6. We didn't do the Meg. We didn't do the Meg because I picked the Meg, and unfortunately you have to rent it for like $3.99, and everyone saw the Meg, and everybody was very displeased that we had to watch the Meg. And so I said, you know what, scrap it. So we're not reviewing the Meg. We're not reviewing it. We're just going to do 5 films, and I think it's a good, you know, 5 films to jump and dive into.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start it off, right?
Go for it. Yep.
All right. So we're going to start off with the 2019 film Crawl.
Nice.
Yes. Yes. And it's starting. I'm gonna massacre this woman's name, Kaya Scarallo. I can't do it.
That sounds good.
Somebody's going to get an email.
Well, I could do the next actor very easily. Barry Pepper. From Saving Private Ryan and of course, the legendary Battlefield Earth. but this is, I'm gonna massacre this name again, the director, directed by Alexandre Aja? Mm-hmm. Aja? Aja? Yeah.
Aja. Is it?
Yes! What, Joe? Who also directed French Extreme as High Tension, the remake of The Hills Have Eyes, which I fucking love. I love that film.
Yeah, it was
good. Yeah, and of course, a fan favorite of mine is Piranha 3D, because that is just a real fun film. We should have actually did that for a 6th movie, because that's a great film. It's a fun watch.
Yeah, that would have been good.
It's not like you didn't have dozens upon dozens of aquatic horror films to choose from.
I understand that, but we'll get into something later at the end of the episode, and I'll do my grievances there. So let's talk about the plot. A young woman in a Floridian town tries to save her father during a Category 5 hurricane, finds herself trapped in a flooding house, and must fight for her life against a slew of hungry alligators. I mean, that's the premise of it. But I really enjoyed this film. I think I was enthralled and scared throughout the whole film. I haven't watched hardly any alligator like horror films like ever. So this was like new for me. Mm-hmm. It was like X with the alligator times 100.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Are they alligators or crocodiles? I can't remember.
They're alligators.
They're alligators. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crocodiles are from Africa.
Yeah. Because she is very on the nose, but she swims for, was it Florida State?
Yeah.
Gators, Florida State Gators.
Correct. Oh, wait. Was it the Florida State Gators?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Their mascot was the Gators.
That's on the nose. Dang. Yeah. I thought this film was great. This was a fun one for me. Although the CGI alligators were somewhat believable. I mean, you knew it was CGI, but I mean, it was somewhat believable, and the CGI was pretty good. And they had a lot of great kills in it. Some very savage kills, thanks to the director who, you know, did The Hills Have Eyes remake. And that's a savage, savage film. So, yeah, it was fun watching a lot of people die in it. I only think 6 people died in this film.
Oh.
Yeah, and so, like, a lot of people died, 6 people. And what'd you guys think of the film?
I like this one. I've seen it before. I really like Crawl. I just think it's a lot of fun. It was really tight. I like the main girl. I like the relationship that she has in it too, with the father.
With her father, yep.
And it's directed well. This was actually Quentin Tarantino's favorite movie of the year 2019.
I got that in my notes. Yeah.
I didn't like it that much, but I thought it was a really fun, just a really fun aquatic animals attack / kind of movie. Yeah,
it's a tourniquet movie. I mean, how many tourniquets are people going to have in this film? I mean, the father's arm gets bitten off. And he's already done a tourniquet on his busted leg where you can see the meat and the bone. He's just like placed, you know, sized up his leg and did a tourniquet. And then he gets his arm. I mean, Barry Pepper, the father, should have died
about four times.
Easily. Yeah. I mean, just a loss of blood. I mean, and this is one tough son of a bitch.
Well, he gets, you know, it's like father, like daughter. I mean, she makes escaping from an alligator look easy, and it's because she's been working her entire life and training for just this moment. If it wasn't for her training and her father calling her an apex predator since she was 8 years old when she's competing in that swim club, she never would have gotten out of the situation. By my count, true. She should have lost an arm at least twice.
Easily.
And my question is, why didn't they just go up to the second floor or climb up on the roof?
Well, I mean, the water was like going through the house. No, and
they could have climbed up onto the roof at the very beginning of the movie, but I realized then they wouldn't have much of a film. So
yeah, it's like,
well, he was stuck in the basement.
I kept waiting for some sort of horrific blood, you know, like an alligator actually eating somebody and tearing them apart. I got it, but I didn't get it until 49 minutes into the movie.
Oh, with the looters?
Yeah, with the looters. Cops. Yeah.
Yeah. The cops one was pretty good. But the one with the looter where his brother's still stealing or looting from the gas station, and his brother's got slammed up against a window. That was a huge jump scare. I jumped with that one. And then he got slammed up against the window again. That was brutal. It was some good alligator kills. But I love the one where he's just staring at the flashlight flashing from the basement, and his girlfriend is getting eaten in the boat.
Right,
just as she's screaming. It was some fun kills in it. Fun kills.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
It's not one I'll watch again, but it was, especially in,
I might watch it again
in comparison to the other 4 movies that we watched. It was okay.
No, I really like it. Yeah. So what's the next one?
Well, yeah, let's go with Joe's favorite film, Deep Star 6.
It was right. I think, my least favorite film out of all of them.
I know that. That was sarcasm, Joe. I'm learning from you.
I don't think I even took note. No, I didn't take a single note.
You didn't take a single note for Deep Star 6?
No.
Well, let's. No. Luckily, no, I did.
Unacceptable.
So, Deep Star 6, and this starts off the 1989 phenomenon, where 1989. Different studios all decided, I guess, in 87 and 88, hey, let's make a film underwater, a horror film underwater. James Cameron did it. Sean Cunningham, who directed Deep Star Six, who directed the original Friday 13th. We have just a slew.
It's 1989.
Well, 1989 is where a slew of directors just decided to release underwater film, which is absolutely insane. But
yeah, they're all basically not the same story, but it's very similar stories. Yeah,
it's almost the same.
They're all Leviathan, Deep Star Six, and The Abyss are all about like some kind of mining or scientific thing on the bottom of the ocean. They're
it's like everyone was trying. The reason why it's in 1986 is because I think everybody was trying to jump on the bandwagon with 1986's Aliens, because they all have a similar feel to it. You know, they're all eating, you know, breakfast or lunch, and you know, you have the captain, you have the snarky crew member, you have the females, you know, who's the scientist or whatnot, and it's all the same thing. So here's the plot. The crew of an experimental underwater nuclear base are forced to fight for their lives when they find a cave and disturb a creature who threatens to destroy their base. And basically, now I know this plot can basically explain the two other films that we are going to discuss in the underwater films that we got in 1989. But I believe that this was the first one that came out. I think it came out in January, and but there was a slew of these films in 1989. So we had Deep Star Six, The Abyss, Leviathan, The Evil Below, Lords of the Deep, and The Rift. And this is absolutely crazy, the fact that they all had the same idea and released all these films in the same year.
What I think is crazy is you've been talking about this movie for 5 minutes and have not mentioned the fact that Greg Evigan is in this movie.
Who's Greg Evigan?
He was BJ from BJ and the Bear.
Yes!
He was also in My Two Dads.
Wait, no, he's not BJ and the Bear.
Yes, he is.
Well, I know he's from My Two Dads. He's BJ and the Bear?
Yeah, BJ McKay.
The monkey truck show?
Yes, BJ and the Bear. Yeah.
Huh. Fucking, I love that show. That's him?
Yes. Look it up, Greg Evigan.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome! I had no idea. Matt, I don't think Matt even knows what we're talking about.
I don't like BJ the movie any more than that, but
yeah, I know what BJ. I grew up at the same time you guys did. I know what BJ and the Bear is.
Oh my god, BJ and the Bear was so good. I was so hooked on that show. That's him.
Yeah, Greg Evigan.
Wow, that's awesome.
I wouldn't have recognized him as that.
I didn't recognize him either. That's crazy. Oh, I'm so happy about that.
Yeah, I didn't mind this one for the first part of it. I was kind of like, oh, this is, I mean, I was after Leviathan, I was like, this is better than Leviathan at least. But then it turned out to be not better than Leviathan. It was basically the exact same thing. And
the whole movie is them just fixing the ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's like I was watching Home Improvement underwater. You know?
Yeah, it was not well done. And the monster. It's so bad.
It's okay. It's a giant crab, right? I mean, that's what it is. I didn't think the giant crab was that bad because they didn't show much of it. They kind of had like the Jaws feel where they didn't show too much of it. But my favorite, what?
I think they were just ashamed of it.
Yeah. I mean, that you got a good look at it that last scene.
Bruce the Shark didn't work. This was just embarrassing.
That last scene in the flooded compartment with the two women trying to get out or whatever, like you got a pretty good look at that monster. And it was obviously practical effects.
She shocked it.
Right. She was doing the clear thing. It obviously was practical effects, but. But it was so bad. It was just bad.
No. My favorite character in this was Snyder. The Navy guy who, he was the most believable character in the whole one. So Snyder is, he passed away. You've seen him in a slew of things. He was in, The Stand, TV, I believe in the 90s. Series.
He was in RoboCop.
Yeah, he was in RoboCop. Yeah. So he's my favorite because this guy was the most believable character in the film. He did everything wrong. Okay. So he.
And never took the blame.
Right. He damaged the underwater facility. He accidentally killed a crewmate when he stabbed him in the back. His chest blew out. And then he got in an escape pod that wasn't ready to decompress, and then so he exploded. This is everything I would have done if I was in that situation.
Probably, yeah.
No, honestly, it's just because he was the most believable. Everybody's taking his stride as an alien. He's freaking out. He kills his own crewmate by accident because he's freaking out. He just goes, and stabs the guy and his chest blows up. I loved him.
Well, and I love that actor. He was in he's in Twin Peaks too, and he's really good in that. But that character was just awful though.
It's all over the place. He's like, I'm out of here. It's like, don't go in there. You're gonna die. I don't care. Just goes up and explodes.
Yeah, I gave this one two and a half cuts.
Yeah, it's so this movie it was an $8 million budget and it made $143,000 over $8 million. $143,000 over $8 million.
That's horrible. Horrible.
That's not as bad as what Leviathan's box office budget is. Which, speaking of which,
should we move to that one next?
Let's move on to Leviathan.
Is it Leviathan or Leviathan?
Leviathan, I believe.
Leviathan.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm rubbing off on Matt. So Leviathan, 1989 film, directed by George P. Cosmatos. Matt?
Cosmatos? Yeah?
Cosmatos. Thank you, Matt. Thank you for that.
The father of Petros Cosmatos.
Who directed
Mandy.
Mandy.
Or I'm sorry, not Petros, Panos Cosmatos. He directed Mandy and under the Black Rainbow.
So the father, George, who directed cult classics such as Sylvester Stallone's two films, Rambo 2 and Cobra, love Cobra. And he also directed Tombstone. Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that.
So this stars Peter Weller from RoboCop, Daniel Stern, and Hector Alonso from Pretty Woman, you know, the concierge.
This is an all-star cast.
It's an all-star cast.
You've got people from Beverly Hills Cop, Max Headroom, the girl from They Live, Ghostbusters, RoboCop, Home Alone, Rambo, Pretty Woman.
Yes,
Joe. I mean, I just stared at the screen in awe of the talent that I'm looking at.
No, it was crazy.
Yeah, it was Jenny from Beverly Hills Cop, man. Yeah. That was fantastic. Yeah. I was like, I've never seen her before in another film besides Beverly Hills Cop.
Yeah, I hadn't either.
She's beautiful. I don't care what anybody says. I think she's hot.
And the only guy that I didn't recognize on that entire cast was the guy that played DeJesus. But
yeah, who's he from? I've seen him before.
I don't know, but he's a dead ringer for Rami Malek.
Oh,
Mr. Robot.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. With
the eyes. Mm-hmm. My first note that I wrote down is: I have no problem with this film.
Oh, I did. That was it. Was a
I liked it better than Deep Star 6.
I didn't. I mean, I probably disliked them about equally, but. Deep Star 6, I found myself kind of getting drawn into it for a while and then not. But this one, it was a slog from the beginning for me. I was like, I don't even know how I'm going to get through this.
You got Stan Winston creatures in this film.
Yeah.
Stan Winston, Matt.
Duh. He made a goldfish.
It's better than the crab.
It was a goldfish.
On this one.
It was a goldfish. So the plot. So the plot of Leviathan, big surprise, perched on the hull of a wrecked Soviet freighter, 16,000 feet deep in the ocean, a mining corporation brings back dangerous cargo from the Russian ship, being exposed to some bad vodka that infected the crewmates, transforms and mutates into a horrifying goldfish and attempts to destroy the rest of the crew. Because at the end, it turned into a goldfish. Because it was like a huge, like, heaping mass, you know, at first, because they would, like, mutate into each other. And then at the end, it was a goldfish, basically. It had, like, the bass lips. It was really bizarre, wasn't it?
Really weird. And the dialogue in this thing is just so bad. Like, Daniel Stern's, like, creepy lines are just so
awful. It was like a play. It was like watching a bad play. Did you notice that blocking?
You said bad, but I think you meant believable.
No.
I just imagine that's how Daniel Stern is if he's locked in a ship for 6 months at a time.
This was like probably 2 years before City Slickers, I think, came out, where he actually kind of blew up. Right?
I don't remember seeing him in anything, you know, because then he was in a lot of stuff. He was in that Cubs movie and he was in, of course, Home Alone.
He's in Chud, right? He's in Chud?
Home Alone and all those, yeah. I don't know if he's in Chud.
Oh, yeah. So that was before Home Alone.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't remember what year Home Alone was, but I think it was early 90s, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Home Alone was 1990, so.
Yeah.
So a year before. Right before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Stan Winston did the monster effects. This movie tanked in the box office, only making $15 million worldwide on a $25 million budget.
Ooh. I'm surprised they let Cosmatos direct Tombstone, but I guess enough time had passed. But
not that much time, probably like 7 years or something like that.
Maybe.
But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it better. I thought it was more interesting than Deep Star 6.
Boy,
Matt, the film you were referring to is Rookie of the Year. That was 1993.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Great movie.
You never would have got that if it wasn't for Leviathan.
That's true. Yeah. What's the next one, Mark?
What? The next one's Underwater.
Basically the same story again.
Yeah.
But done
much better, I think. Yeah. But
The plot. What's the plot? A deep drilling station thousands of feet underwater unleashes monsters who go after the crew.
Mark, did you do this on purpose? Pick stories that were
on purpose. No, I never saw Underwater. I just
There were a lot of really good, like, shark movies you could have picked. Or
I never saw Underwater. I only picked
The Reef,
Leviathan, and Deep Star 6 because
The Shallows
came out in 1989, so I thought it would have been a nice comparison. I had no idea that Underwater was going to be the same freaking plot.
Could have thrown an aquatic horror classic in there, like Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
No, we already did Creature of Black Lagoon.
There's sequels.
Yeah.
But I'll talk about it later at the end, all right? I'll get back at you guys. So the cast, this is directed by William Eubank, who is also known. I don't know if you guys seen this film, but if you haven't, I highly recommend it. The underrated sci-fi film called The Signal with Lawrence Fishburne. Have you seen it?
The Signal?
The Signal.
Oh, yeah. I'm aware of it. I have not seen it.
So damn good. Riveting. Awesome.
Is it better than Underwater?
Yes. Way better than Underwater, in my opinion. Okay, so anyways. But no, Underwater was the best, of course, out of like Deep Star 6 and Leviathan. It was just done better. The special effects is done better.
And I like Kristen Stewart. She's really grown on me. I think she's good.
I really enjoyed her. TJ Miller, though, is in it. And he was kind of annoying, but not as annoying as he was.
I was so happy when he died.
I wasn't too upset about I was a little upset that he died. He wasn't as annoying as he was in Cloverfield. He was super annoying.
I assumed they didn't write a script for him. They just said, hey,
yeah, just
action, be TJ Miller, be Ryan Reynolds' right hand man,
exactly.
It's all your quips. Yeah
But he wasn't as annoying as some of his other films. I Yeah. He wasn't that bad. He wasn't that bad.
I agree.
Yeah, some great implosions, people imploding, I thought looked really cool. The special effects, phenomenal, I thought, especially when Kristen Stewart's being eaten by the underwater creature. I thought that was fun how that all like ensued. But yeah, it's I really enjoyed it. You guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fun movie. I liked Kristen Stewart in it. I thought I thought the ending was a little, you know,
anticlimactic.
Yeah, a little bit. But I thought that it was pretty. You know, I felt like it set up a lot of tension, and they put Kristen Stewart in some situations that I felt a little bit claustrophobic with, you know?
Yeah.
So I liked it. And I, you know, I think, it of all of these that you did, I think I probably liked it second to Crawl. Yeah.
Yeah. Joe, what do you think?
I enjoyed the very beginning. My first note was off to a great start, and mm-hmm. To pull back the curtain, I wrote, just as I was starting to get really sick of TJ Miller, he got killed. So two thumbs up. I really enjoyed.
Come on. It was adorable with this stuffed animal bunny.
I enjoyed the creature design on mm-hmm. this one immensely. I thought it was fantastic to look at. I think my biggest issue with this movie is that out of the ones that we watched, I watched it last. Mm-hmm. So it was more of just, oh, okay, here's another alien right. underwater movie. And then Kristen Stewart's got really short hair like Sigourney Weaver in Alien. And
yeah, I guess so.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah.
I guess, yeah. And they had her like in skimpy outfits the way they had.
Did not mind that at all.
Well, I'm just saying, but it was similar, I guess, to Alien.
She was very, very Ripley
yeah.
in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but I thought she did that well. Like, I don't think any of the other people, men or women, in these other movies did it very well. I thought she did a good job at it.
Right, but now take this same movie and take it from underwater and put it out in outer space, and really you've just changed the setting for Aliens.
Right.
I mean, that would have been
Ripley. It is. Yeah. Even the beginning of Underwater, they're just showing the hallways of this base, and it was just exactly, I was like, oh, this is just like Alien. They're yeah. just, you know, showing, I was like, oh, this is yeah. an Alien film. And yeah. and that's basically what I got from Deep Star 6 and Leviathan. Mm-hmm. It's an Alien thing. And we just did Aliens. So I'm just going, oh, Mark, you're still on the Alien thing. I was like, eh. But I mean, I just thought it was neat to do Underwater. Fun fact with Underwater, this was the last 20th Century Fox film to be released before Disney bought it.
Oh, hmm. Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And it was filmed in 2017, and they delayed it because of the Disney before Disney bought, and so it was released in 2020. And it was right before basically lockdown because of all the COVID stuff happened. Mm. So that was like one of the films to be last released.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's all.
No, we got one more. We got one more. We got one more.
What was the next one?
Well, it's the best one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Humanoids. That's right.
Humanoids of the Deep, 1980. Yeah. Directed right. by... Barbara Peters, who is known for directing trashy exploitation films in the 70s, produced by Roger Corman. And, of course, this stars our favorite hero of all time, Vic Morrow. Yeah. And music by James Horner.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true. That is true. And that's he's a pretty big music guy for this movie.
Yeah, I wonder if he was the one responsible for putting in Ta-ra-ra boom-die. Yeah. to get the crowd all riled up.
Yeah. I have to say that the cop in this movie is the worst officers yeah in all of cinema. This is probably the worst police officer in all of cinema.
Wait
let's, I love how
he doesn't even wear a uniform coat. He wears like just his own jacket over his uniform. Like he doesn't have a police jacket.
Let's get into the plot.
Just like, I brought this from home. Is this okay?
Okay, so the plot. This is a 1980 film. The plot is a humanoid sea creature start killing a fishing town residents. But what makes them worse is that they rape the women to impregnate them. That's the plot.
Yeah, that's your plot.
Okay, so back to that sheriff. back to the sheriff. So I love how there's a fist fight breaking out in front of the town hall, and it goes on for a while. And then the way the sheriff handles it is he walks outside and shoots a double barrel shotgun into the air and arrests no one. Everyone just, all right, go home. Time for everyone.
He seems like he's annoyed that he has to do his job and just wants everyone to go home all the time.
I believe the line was, all right, that's enough. Time to go home.
My note about him is that sheriff is worthless.
Oh, yeah. No, he's the worst sheriff. All hell is breaking loose at that summer festival, whatever they had going on. Yeah. And he's just walking around like, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, basically, he wouldn't help anyone. He was just
walking around with a beer in his hand.
Yeah, he's walking around. And while people are getting killed, he's just walking around.
In his jacket from home.
Yeah, in his flannel jacket.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the tent scene with the
mannequin? The puppet?
Yes.
Who the hell brings turn on a girl?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
For those of you who have not seen this, there is a scene where this young couple go camping in this tent.
On the beach.
Yeah, on the beach. And this guy pulls out a puppet or a marionette as like some sort of aphrodisiac to get her in the mood. And it works.
And
her
clothes
just drop
everything.
Right off.
And you see everything too. I was like, what? That's all Roger Corman, by the way.
You know, and it brings up an interesting point. So I was reading the trivia about this. So they shot this movie and then Roger Corman took a look at the cut and he's like, there's not enough TNA in this and I could do better. And he basically went back against the director's wishes and added in all these new scenes. And I honestly
tent.
Yeah. Roger Corman written all over
blue,
it.
Out of the blue.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen this movie before he put all of his garbage in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. And then the mannequin's eyes move by itself, like, oh my God, you know, when the humanoid came in, I was like, holy shit, that was out.
Although,
of left field.
Joe, I have a feeling this movie wasn't good before the TNA.
The beginning of the film? How about the beginning of the film with the little fat kid and the father? He's going, fill up the gasoline, you piece of shit, you know, you lazy. And the kids are pouring the gasoline all over the place.
He's
going, come on over here and help me. The kid he's 11 years old. He's just trying to read a comic book. Why is he even on the ship?
Part of this reminded me a little bit about that movie we watched a while back called Blood Hook. A little bit of that.
Yeah.
Certainly the way it was done.
Roger Corman was also responsible for enhancing all of the explosives in this film, and it shows.
The Molotov cocktail.
Some guy throws a Molotov cocktail, and you would swear he let off like the atom bomb.
Yeah.
The whole thing exploded.
The whole house explodes. Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, and at that ending scene, we got to talk about the creatures too, because there were three creature costumes that were made for this film, and that's all they had, so they had to keep reshooting them, doing the same things over and over again. And the back of the head looks like a human scrotum. I got to add that in there too. But it seems like at the end, when the monsters are raiding the town, all they're really interested in is seeing boobs.
Yeah,
they're constantly just going after the girls and ripping their tops off, and that's
they're a bunch of Roger Cormans.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But how fun was it with the beauty queen? She gets her bikini ripped off, and she's just fighting one of the humanoids. I forget what she was fighting with, but she actually wins. Mm-hmm. She comes like a hero. You think she'd just die off the bat? She actually fights one of them and wins.
Well, and whose bright idea was it to light the lake on fire when all the monsters have already moved onto the land?
They're on the land.
What good is that going to do?
Right.
And the lead character is going, come on, let's get on the boat, get the gasoline. And they're just throwing, you know, gasoline, you know, on the ocean while everybody's getting massacred on land. And they keep going back. And then when they light it, it's just a little flame. It's nothing really even. It's like, did no good at all. That was, oh god,
yeah, it was terrible.
It was 25 minutes of pure pleasure for me watching it because it kept going and going. And there was some like horrific scenes, like people's like necks, a guy's neck getting like torn apart, just blood just coming.
Yeah,
down.
I was laughing pretty hard at this movie.
Yeah,
there was a scene where the girl was trying to drive away, I think, to get help in a truck. She must have been driving for 10 minutes before she realized that there was a monster in the back of the truck the whole time. Like, you didn't just drop out of the sky. Hey,
you know what? I got to salute the patience of that monster, though, Joe, because it definitely took its, you know.
Waiting for the right moment. Yeah.
For creatures that need to be in the ocean, too, by the way, they can sure handle themselves out of the ocean.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is that she stopped the car or the truck and the humanoid fell, and then she runs over it and she's driving. And then all of a sudden the monster's back on the truck. And then she drives over the bridge and it explodes. It's like, was there two, or did the thing just get up and run after? Cause those things look pretty slow to me.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
It's hard running with a giant scrotum on the back of your head.
Yeah.
It's a fun movie.
Trust me. There you go.
more like my episode.
Well, good job, Mark. This was
thanks.
This was an episode we did.
I thought Humanoids of the Deep saved everything. I thought it was a fun film.
Those were movies that we watched.
This was an episode we did.
Oh my god, Harrison Ford. Thank you so much.
Why did it have to be Mark?
You can't put me in a corner for this. You can't. It's not the Lost Boys episode.
Nobody puts baby in a corner.
Well,
you already did.
It's a step up, Mark. It is a step up.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I did the Scream episode.
You can't keep bringing that one up like 8 months later, okay?
Yeah. It wasn't 8 months later.
Yeah, it was like in January. This is now
was
August.
It in January?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so next time is my pick, and I actually not really continuing the theme, but it's a similar theme, and mine is going to be Animals Attack, and I've got some good ones.
Acceptable.
oh, acceptable.
Most of them are movies I have never seen or haven't seen in a very long time, like one of them. There's only one that I've seen recently. So the first one is going to be from 1976, Grizzly. And this is the Jaws knockoff from 1976. And that one is on Shudder, but it's also on Tubi if you don't have Shudder, so, or Hoopla, I guess, but I don't have that one.
Hell's Tubby. Hoopla.
Tubby, Tubby. In Jimmy's honor, Tubby. And then, let's see, next we have Alligator from 1980, starring the great Robert Forster, and that is also on Shudder.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
Is that, I remember when I was a kid, there was a movie I remember watching where it starts off, somebody flushed an alligator down the toilet.
I don't know. I haven't seen.
Is that this one?
I think it is. I think it is, Joe.
A baby alligator is flushed down a toilet and survives by eating discarded lab animals.
I haven't seen it though.
Since I was a kid. Yeah.
I've never seen this one, and I'm very excited because
I believe the poster art is there's like a arch and the alligators coming out of the arch like a of a sewer.
Yes. Yes. That's it.
Yeah, I've never seen it though.
The next one is a classic that I haven't seen since it very first came out. And I honestly don't really remember anything about it. I try to picture scenes from it. I don't remember it. Yep, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, I'm so smart.
And that is Cujo from 1983, the Stephen King classic. I think it's underrated.
I've seen it once, but it was, I think it must have been like 1984 or 1985 when I saw it.
Is this really only the second Stephen King movie we've reviewed?
I believe, well, The Shining.
The Shining.
Yeah, I think that's it, yeah.
We've been holding off on Stephen King because Joe and I have been always talking about doing a Stephen King episode, and we haven't figured it out.
Yeah.
Like, we want to make it elaborate. We want to make it special. It. Because we love Stephen King. Yeah. All three. I know James loves Stephen King, too.
So
it's just such a plethora of film.
Yeah. Cujo is not available on any streaming service for free with the service. It is for rent on Amazon, though, or any whatever site that you use to rent. The next one is Razorback from 1984. This one also, unfortunately, is for rent on Amazon. I don't believe, unless you could check to see if it's on one of the service, but it's not on any services that I have. So
the hell is a Razorback?
Razorback is a
it's
pig.
Like a boar.
Boar, wild boar.
It's a boar?
Yeah. That's what the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yep. Their mascot is a wild boar. That's just another name for a wild boar.
It's a fucking pig?
Yes. But they're super dangerous, though. Like Razorbacks, you don't want to mess with them. They're actually highly aggressive.
Okay.
But anyway, this is from 1984. And then we jump to 2007, Rogue. 2007. This one, if you're keeping track of poster covers, this one has a giant like crocodile eating the word rogue.
And here's my discrepancy right now. Like, you picked all animals. You picked two alligators films.
How is that a discrepancy?
Well, because I picked two films for underwater that had to do with, you know, alien. Well, three films with, you know,
the same
monsters.
Exact story.
No, well, I'm not granted.
These
same exact story. Yeah. But okay. I mean, with all animals, you picked two alligator films.
I picked one. How I outdid you, Mark, is that I picked all movies that
good
were
ones.
I picked movies that were highly rated by people that I respect. So,
son of a bitch.
I haven't seen Rogue, but a lot
Neither
of people I follow are giving it 3.5 to 4 stars. So that usually means it's a fun one.
Okay.
And then one that I have seen, and it's actually a personal favorite of mine, but your mileage may vary because I know there's mixed people have mixed reviews. The people I follow give it 3.5 stars. I think it's a fantastic movie, and that is Backcountry from 2014. Backcountry from 2014. One word, Backcountry. Backcountry.
And what animal is it?
Bear. So I have two bears. I have two bear movies, two alligator movies, and a razorback, and...
Oh, two bear movies and two alligators.
Yeah.
And a pig.
And a dog.
And a dog. Yeah. And this one, Backcountry, is on Shudder or AMC Plus or Canopy. So...
You couldn't find a giraffe horror movie?
No, they don't have a lot of those. Yeah, don't have a lot of those. Mm. No.
What about frogs?
Honey badger?
Yeah.
Ocelot. Honey badger?
So... Yeah. Those Ostrich. Are the six again: Grizzly, Alligator, Cujo, Razorback, Rogue, and Backcountry. So we will. I'll post these
Backcountry.
On. Yeah, I will.
Bear movies scare the shit out of me.
I will post these on the Facebook so that you guys can see it and
awesome
and know what to watch. Also, follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Twitter and the TikTok, which are. The TikTok account is growing thanks to some well-placed videos of that people out there on the TikTok. They love Jason. They love the Friday the 13th. I post a Friday the 13th video and they blow up. If there's any violence in it, it usually gets muted or not muted, but
censored.
Yeah, there's like a cover over it saying, you know, yeah, sensitive viewers.
You're Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah, that one took off today. Thousands of people have viewed it, but and we've gotten more followers. So please follow us there. Once we get to 1,000 followers on the TikTok, then we can start doing those live feeds, and those are kind of fun. So.
That'll be fun.
I just like how we keep referring to it as the TikTok.
Yeah, no, that's
we're so old.
I purposely call them all that: the Instagram, the Facebook, the TikTok, yeah, the Twitter. Yeah,
the Twitter.
All right. Well, anything else?
I got nothing. I'm tapped out.
Please go to www.cinescarehorror.com and buy merchandise. Support the show. It goes to a good cause. So I guess we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.